Hello.
What?
Hi.
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 Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
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 Hi.
Here I am.
Here we are.
This is like Radio Gold.
Radio Gaga.
Radio Gaga. There are many different ways to say hi by Dawn, Eileen and Gail. Hi.
Guten Tag.
Anyway, so when was the last time we did a podcast?
Oh, about
10 days ago.
Was it really that long?
2 weeks ago. It was right before you went to New York.
Oh my God, New York.
How was New York?
It was amazing. We were there for Thanksgiving and went to Eleanor Bergstein's house, who wrote Dirty Dancing, who's my hero.
Oh.
And it was so good. She had like 32 people she did Thanksgiving for. And I was sitting at the table with loads of the cast.
Did you have the time of your life?
Yeah, I really did. You guys, you guys. And it was really good, actually. We had like lots of food, drank too much wine, and sat at the table with like loads of the cast from the musical. And then as soon as dinner had finished, there was like a show tunes. And I, oh my God. So this guy, who's obviously one of the guys in the musical, who just got up and just suddenly got his musical book out and started singing all like Les Mis and all that stuff. And I heard the pianist say to him, "You could do On My Own from Les Mis as a joke." And I stood up in front of all these people and went, "I'll do it!"
Oh,
honestly,
my goodness.
Chris grabbed hold of my thigh and he just shot me this look as if to say, "What are you doing?" And I just got up to the piano and I went, "On my own,
my God,
pretending he's beside me." And I was like, I couldn't look into the room because I knew that Chris was just staring at me. And all I could see was him just like this kind of vacant stare looking at me, really slowly shaking his head. And I was just like, I started now and I can't stop. I have to keep singing. And everyone's like, I'm shit. And everyone was just kind of
they were
sitting
all professionals.
There. Everyone, like, it was literally there with a, you know,
well,
Broadway musical cast.
Oh my God. Very brave of you.
Huh?
Did they all clap?
Everyone
at the
clapped
end?
At the end, and Eleanor told me that it was beautiful and she could listen to me all night.
Oh, bless.
Honestly, and she said that, she said, and I was looking at Chris and he was looking at you so adoringly, and I was like, I assure you he wasn't.
Can we have a rendition of it?
We just a little bit.
On well, my bit own, pretending he's beside me.
I wish I could see your shoulders. That makes
I'm swaying.
It's so
away.
Weird you turn into like a 12-year-old when you do that.
I sang like a 12-year-old.
She turns into like a little girl.
I literally did. It was, and I sat down and I was vibrating because I was in such.
Did Chris lie to you afterwards and say it was beautiful?
No, he didn't. He said, "Chris,
it's beautiful, by the way. It's lovely."
Chris's,
it was.
Chris's exact words were, "That was an extraordinary choice." And I was like, "Oh shit!" And he goes, "Amazing."
That was a compliment, I think.
He was stunned. And then I was the only other person apart from the musical theatre guy that sung another song for like the next 2 hours. And suddenly I thought, is he being paid to be here? And I just went up and stole the microphone. That's what happens when I drink too much red wine. There's a microphone in the room and I have to just grab it and sing into it.
We had a good sing-song the other night, didn't we? At my house.
Right.
What did you sing?
Well, Eileen had a Christmas dinner for the girls. Unfortunately, Gail couldn't make it. Last Friday. Amazing spread you've got, had, made.
Do.
roast beef, spuds, parsnips, the whole shebang a lang a ding dong. Yorkshire pudding that looked like a spaceship. And also, so all of us girls sitting around, I was way too open about personal matters. And we
What's
all discussed.
New?
We all discussed naughty things and sexy things and gross things. It was really funny. And then Eileen has found a new man.
I'm talking about the Christmas playlist.
Well, I'm not.
Oh,
so Eileen started seeing somebody, and after dinner, there's a new man on the scene, and I must say, an adorable one.
Why don't we let Eileen talk about it or not?
Well, let me just say
it.
What happened. And that, so anyway, on Friday night after dinner, he came to Eileen's house to a room full of girls, which I thought hats off. Like not many men would have done that, dealt with that with such aplomb.
Is it
a
plum?
Ooh,
a plum.
Is it a plum or a plume? Are you spelling it with a B or an E?
Well, I say a plume.
Is it A-P-L-U-M-E?
No,
I
it's
don't
not.
Know.
It's A-P-L-O-M-B. Rhymes with bomb.
A plum. A plum.
It might be a plume, but it's with a B at the end.
A plume.
A plum.
Anyway.
Anyway, he arrived and handled it really well. But we were awful. We sat him on a chair.
They turned into like... I don't know what they turned into.
We went mad. We sat him in a chair, turned all the lights off, shone a lamp in his face and interrogated him.
With stupid questions like, when did you last eat a Twix?
And what's your intentions with Eileen? And then someone would freak out and go, no, you can't ask him that. So, okay, we won't ask you that. What are your intentions with Eileen?
What kind of conditioner does your dog use?
That could be a good TV show.
The interrogation of the friends.
Men and see what they do.
Well, like, you can get a couple that have just met or like been on one date and you could put them both in a room and interrogate both of them. And
like
see
Mr. and Mrs. Not.
Yeah. And see, like,
my question was, what's your specialist subject?
What was it?
Like mastermind.
What was his specialist subject?
Wasn't it welding?
Welding.
Yeah.
He told me he was a welder and I believed him.
What's your specialist?
My special Marmite.
Yeah. What? Oh, there's loads of Marmite, by the way. I haven't been able to pick it up yet, but there's loads. And so whoever's arrived first, we will send you something from the clothes swap.
How will we know who arrived first if you haven't?
Because the girl in the office has been monitoring it for me.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I know that Sari's and Jemmy's have definitely sent something, but I don't know what else is there.
I wonder if anyone sent us I love you Marmite.
The champagne one.
I would
love some Marmite rice cakes.
I think there's some in there.
Really?
We had Marmite just now, though, didn't we?
I got home and had Marmite. Enough of it, can we?
How did we go from your new man to Marmite? That's so insulting.
Because it's the same thing, right?
Deliciousness.
It's delicious and satisfying.
You either love him or you hate him.
We love him. He's a keeper.
Oh, stop it.
What?
Stop it.
Well, I mean a keeper for the next couple of days.
Yeah. A dog is for life, not just for Christmas.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's a beautiful thing. Oh my God, I'm going home next week and I'm going to see Lulu.
I'm going home next week too.
Are you?
The week after.
Me.
Home being London, England, by the way. Yeah, but we'll see you in the new year, Gail.
Definitely.
And it's Gail's birthday. We're going to miss it.
When is your birthday?
Everyone misses
my birthday. Oh, yeah. So you've got a Christmas birthday.
29th. I'm one of those. Just gets completely ignored.
Oh no, we won't ignore it. We'll do something. I'll do something from the other
we'll
side
give
of the
her bumps.
I'll give you the bumps on Skype. Okay. Much less effective, but much easier to handle.
I'd love that.
Yeah. You know, Dawn hasn't added me as a Skype friend.
She hasn't?
No.
Well, that's because she doesn't need to.
And because I don't like her.
Well,
she smells.
Well,
I don't like Kylie.
So what's going on, Dawny Warny?
What's written on the back of my tacky envelope this morning? Honestly, I'm the best producer ever. Look at it. It's got Chris's name, because it's obviously a card that he got sent, and then around his name I've done like a spider diagram of things that we might possibly talk about on the podcast.
I just love how you have to bring Chris's name into it. It's
I don't know what I don't know what you mean.
Any little excuse to bring Chris's name. No, it's lovely. It's lovely.
I know, I love him.
It's lovely.
Look, so let me read through the list and we'll see what we want to talk about. I don't really want to talk about this. We were going to talk about this last time, but I just think we're so much...
Was it surrogate mothers?
Yeah, surrogate mums. I think we could, but it's coming up to Christmas. We'll get serious after Christmas. Yeah. So then I was going to talk about the Christmas party you had. My broken chair.
What happened to your chair?
I have these beautiful dining room chairs that are plastic egg, original 1950s.
I know, they're lovely.
They're lovely, and they've got, like, they're big plastic, like, anyway.
They're like eggs.
Yeah, they're like eggs. Last night we had some people over for dinner. And Chris sat back and suddenly I just heard this crack. Ooh. Do you know how you fix plastic chairs? Can you?
Maybe melt it together.
But is there a service that you can go to?
I don't know. Google it.
Exactly. I'll Google you in a minute. Yeah. So what other fascinating topics are on my list?
That's really not that interesting.
No, not that interesting.
Well, do you know what? I don't think you're that interesting. But sometimes I just need to talk about things and I need to talk about my broken chair. And can I also say how well I dealt with it?
Yeah.
So I heard a snap. Now I love my chairs. Chris didn't do it on purpose. So he's like,
God. He didn't do it at all. He just sat there and it broke. Maybe it was on his way out.
No,
he was.
If it's not on legs, it's on like a base. However, it would have been perfect opportunity for me to say, there's four legs on that chair. Use all of them. Like they did at school.
Oh, was he doing a wibble?
He was doing a wibble. But I dealt with it really well because accidents happen, right?
Yes. But I do think because Chris broke the chair, he should be Googling how to fix it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's my chair. It's cool. I don't mind.
I have two broken dining room chairs, which I
know
sat
where to
through.
Get yours fixed.
Oh, that's right.
Now I've got a cane guy.
He's a cane.
Why are you carrying on that conversation when you told me it was boring?
I'm kind of.
And now you've gone off in your own little broken chair world.
We're being a bit naughty today.
I'm going to write a song called Broken Chair today.
Write a song called Broken Chair.
It's so fascinating.
No, but it isn't. It leads on to a much bigger. Yes. It leads on to a much bigger thing. Is that how you deal with crisis?
Yes.
Because it was a crisis when I heard that crunch, and I dealt with it.
Or how you deal with having a big ass that breaks your chair, which I did, obviously.
Not Chris.
I was going to say, do you want to say that to his face?
No, apparently Steve, I've got a big ass because I broke the chair, Steve said.
I don't think you've got a big ass.
No, I think your body looks tight at the moment, sister.
Fit.
He's just being Steve. What was you were talking about something in the car, though, earlier that was a good topic. That was something that we wanted to discuss.
Was it arguing in relationships?
Yes.
Right, here's one for the team.
As you wrote it down.
I wrote it down on my envelope. Right, so arguing in relationships. We had a little bit of a row yesterday. But about just small things, the things we say to each other that annoy each other, or the things that we find offensive when someone just gets you wrong, and it builds up into an argument. And actually, even though the argument's horrible, afterwards it's like, oh, glad I got that off my chest. And I've never experienced this before because I haven't had a relationship for so long. Any arguments that I have with my friends or anybody are due to big things. They're not niggles. An argument comes out of a really big issue. So I'm very new to this whole, oh, you're pissing me off today, let's have a fight about it. And I'd say that yesterday was probably one of my first. And actually, even though, you know, never want to argue, it actually was quite relieving afterwards. And we went to bed utterly in love with each other.
You know what's interesting is when you learn that is, you can argue and still be friends afterwards.
That's it.
It's like a sign of maturity. Because when you're younger, you think you have a fight. I'm not talking to you ever again. Yeah. Well, you're not my friend.
There's big things and then there's... Well, also, like, when it's friends, it's usually like a build-up of things. And then it's a big explosion. And you either end up being better friends or you decide to pop, you know, not
but
to be
friends.
But it's
just a sign of growing up.
If you're living with someone or you're, you know, every day and it's a relationship, then you are so intense that of course you're going to get on each other's nerves. And you know what? It's a good sign. It's a healthy sign.
It is, but it's really... For having been single, whenever any of my friends say they argue all the time and have these little arguments, I always saw it as a really unhealthy thing. I was like... I don't understand why you're arguing. Why are you arguing? And now I'm in a relationship. I'm like, well, of course you argue. Yeah. And it actually is healthy and it feels right. But I'm just getting to that point after, you know, quite a few months now. But of like thinking, and because I'm the kind of person where something will upset me and then that person will leave the room and I won't say anything. I'll just go quiet and bubble up and bubble up and bubble up. And
worst.
I felt like yesterday was this real exercise for me of going, don't say, no, I'm fine, and let him walk out the room when I'm not, and actually say what's on my mind. And whether I'm being outrageous or not, the fact is that I just argued back, and then it was over. Rather than me spending the whole day
so
pissed off and upset.
To get it off your chest and build up a resentment. Definitely. And then suddenly you flip because they put sugar in your tea. Yeah. You know.
Yes, and it's these little things.
And you get a gun and kill them.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
Gail?
And then you get a gun and kill them.
There's people that just don't ever say anything, and then that's why it all comes...
But that's exactly what I'm usually like. Yeah. And so it was a real lesson learned yesterday. It's like, no, I am
growing up.
Yeah, not growing outward.
No, you're not.
Up. My God, I'm growing outward.
Up. Are you?
You know when you feel you're growing a little bit outward and then you go, Christmas is coming, I'm fucked.
But then there's January.
Then there's January and it's my birthday. January.
You could always do what I did. No, you can tell me off. She told me off.
I don't want to talk to you about it. Tell the world.
I fasted for 3 days, but I didn't really fast. I mean, I did.
You starved yourself.
I didn't. I wasn't hungry. You're only starving if you're hungry, right?
Yes.
Well, you're still not eating, which is called fasting, whether you're hungry or not.
Fasting for 3 days is actually good. It's healthy.
I was drinking the lemonade maple syrup thing. That gave me energy. And I wasn't hungry. And if I got hungry, I was going to eat. But I didn't get hungry, so I didn't eat. And it was great. And I actually got a bit scared to eat at the last part of the day because I still wasn't hungry and I couldn't imagine food in my mouth. It was really weird. So I had Marmite on toast.
You broke your fast.
And then I went and picked Dawn up at the airport and she had Funyuns for everyone.
I did, and I ruined your fast by feeding you Funyuns in the car. Thank you very much for coming to get me from the airport, by the way, Ellie.
You're welcome, Dawn. Do you remember I said I'll meet you at the carousel?
It was so romantic. And she looked really pretty.
Then she tried to get my knickers off.
And then I just stripped her down, made love to her violently on the carousel.
While we were going round.
While the luggage was going round.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dry humping her on against some old man's suitcase.
Against a Louis Vuitton suitcase.
Yep.
Trunk.
Yep. Mm. That's pretty much what happened. So when I Oh, excuse me.
Can I go back to the arguing thing for a second? Because I have to say this.
You can't.
Well, I'm bloody well going
no,
to.
No,
Steve. Steve the other night really got on my nerves. I was telling Dawn earlier. Like, okay, these little things. I suppose when you've been with someone for a while and you live with them and it's like years. But I mean, I felt really horrible because he wears headphones to watch the TV because he's
you sure it's not
deaf.
To drown you out?
Maybe. It might be. To wear anyway, he watches TV with his headphones, which is fine. But when we're watching TV, sometimes you want to like talk and I have to be like, you know, prod him and he'll get the headphones off. But anyway, I really wanted to go to sleep the other night. I was really, really tired. And he had the headphones on, but I could still hear the TV. And I was like, Steve, I can hear it. And he's like, you can't hear it.
Has he got TV ears?
Yeah, he's got TV ears. But I could really hear it.
I've seen on TV.
But not only that, he had the headphones on and I could still hear the TV. But he was like,
oh my God.
And grunting and sort of, and I just got so mad. I kept kicking him and prodding him.
That's so mean.
And he was like, what? And I was like, I felt really horrible, but I just... things like that.
Did it drive you nuts?
It drove me nuts. But then and then I was like, when are you leaving again? And then but then when he leaves, of course, I'm like, oh, you know, and I'm all sort of but it's funny.
And then you sleep with the TV on at full blast when he leaves, don't
sometimes
you?
Sometimes I do.
See?
Actually.
I find it I'm definitely that stage now. Chris is working at the moment and I just do not want him to leave the house and all day because we've just for the last 2 months, neither of us have been working. We've just been at home all the time. We're like, what is our life? Oh my God, this is ridiculous. He's just outside playing darts. I'm inside, like, you know, doing stuff on my computer and now he's got this job and he left the house at like 5:30 this morning and he won't be back until 9 tonight and it's going to be like that up until Christmas and I'm just like, what happened to our life?
It's nice because then you appreciate the slow times.
It is, we're
and
a normal
that pays
couple
for the slow times.
Do you know what though, when because we were like we were having so much sex all the time, like throughout the day, because
well,
he wasn't working.
Will Chris mind us discussing this?
No, he'll be fine. And so
he's
now,
rampant.
He's rampant. But now we're like a normal couple. Like he comes home from work and we go to bed.
And
like,
tired.
And it's like, oh, we just do it at night time.
You
really
know what's nice about him going to work all day is because you get, when I was married, I found that I started to get a little bit lazy about my appearance, especially because my husband worked from home a lot of the time. So I couldn't even like make myself look pretty occasionally for him because he was there before me when
right.
I came home from work. So what's nice is it's kind of fun sometimes just to, you know, just for a change instead of being in your old green thermals.
Yeah, no, it's so true. Like that half hour before he's coming home and I get the text saying I'm on my way home, I'm like, like so excited,
it's
you know.
It's like playing house kind of. It's kind of a nice
I really
thing.
Enjoy it.
But also you've got more to talk about because you've got
absolutely.
He's got his day to tell you about and you've got his your day to tell him about.
Yeah.
And also because he's not there, you're obviously going to do more things even if it's just working more.
Yeah.
Whatever,
I think it's really important.
It's great.
Oh, I think it's great. Yeah. It feels like something fun
different.
Is happening. I just miss him all day.
I remember it used to drive me nuts with my ex-husband that I'd go home and he'd been home all day and he hadn't spoken to anyone all day because he's recording or something and so then he'd just want I'd get in the door and he'd want to just talk all the time and I found it too much, you know, like you want to go home and decompress for like 5 minutes.
Had you been talking to people all day?
Yeah, I'd been,
so you didn't need, you didn't really
and
need that.
So you have to watch that.
That's what our argument was about.
Was it?
That he wasn't. I wasn't picking up on his signs that he just wanted to sit in peace.
See, oh, that's interesting. That's
so
exactly
I got all upset,
problem.
Like, what? You just want me to fuck off and shut up? But he was just like, I just wanted a few moments.
Yeah,
and
you need
I was
that transition period.
Yeah,
you really do,
especially if he's been on a shoot all day. Mm. Well, you know what it's like. You do the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I know. So you just have to
just. I just got all upset. Offended,
just make him
ridiculous.
A cup of tea
and leave
yourself
room,
one
and leave the room for a minute.
Yeah, go and say I'm just going to hop in the shower, give him 10 minutes to chill.
But what if I just had a shower?
Or just run him a bath and say go and get in there you grubby sod.
Yeah, just, yeah, exactly. Run him a bath.
Run him a nice little bath
tea,
and put like
or a glass of wine.
Yeah,
and then just say, oh, I'm going to run you a bath. Or just
play hide and seek. Go and hide in the cupboard.
Or just disappear
and wait till he finds you.
I love it. That's it. Wouldn't be funny if next time he comes home and works and I'm just hiding in the cupboard.
Like,
what are you doing?
Him.
Eileen told me to do
this.
This
is what you do when you know he's coming home. Go and hide somewhere, but text him from your hiding place. Say, find me.
Oh, I like that. Oh, no. When
and then
walks,
when he's ready.
Am I supposed to have some sort of kinky outfit on?
No, when he walks through the door, he'll be like, Dawn, right? And so wait like 10 minutes and then be hiding and then text him, I'm here, find me.
And he's passed out on the sofa and you're there.
Yeah, he
night.
Literally, but that's the problem. I'd be in the cupboard for a good few days.
It would be a funny game to play.
I like that.
I think it might be in nuts.
The I'm stuck like in the that. Cupboard game. But God, I dreamt last night that a friend of mine fell down a 100-mile hole and I had to get her out.
God.
Interesting.
Did you manage?
Yeah, she got out and she was absolutely fine. And I think then we made a roast chicken.
I wonder what that was all about.
I just, yeah, I don't know.
By the way, just picturing him coming home and you hiding in the cupboard wearing like a crazy skimpy outfit and him being with like his mum or something, you know. Like,
I was like, imagining you.
One of those classic
moments. I was
moments.
Imagining you like all folded up in your new pink suitcase. Like with your head over your legs, like really like contorted.
Contorted.
With beady little eyes. So should we talk about having sex on the first date?
Oh yeah, that was the other topic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm. Let's talk about it then.
You talk about it.
All right. Well, I mean, obviously, I haven't had a date for a long time.
But if you did, would you have sex?
But I'm thinking before, this was my...
Did you have sex on the first date with your husband?
No, I think it was like the third.
Was it?
Second or third.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was...
Was
yeah.
that deliberate or was that just the way it happened?
Just happened and I think the first... Actually, the first date we had, the first... It was the third date. And the third date we had was not like a date. It was like an epic movie. We basically had like... dinner, we went to a movie, we went to Regent's Park, went to the zoo, went to dinner, we went to the
movies.
So
that was like 4 dates. She could have been shagging like rabbits.
Exactly, it was 4 dates and then we ended up back at his house. But I think that, and this is my honest opinion, when I was dating, if I, you know, usually it was like if I didn't think this was going to be a relationship or something serious, then I probably would. But if I really liked the person, then...
Yeah.
Then no, or I made the mistake and did it, and
I think I've messed up many relationships by sleeping with someone on the first date.
Do you really think?
Yeah, I really
do. Think you weren't right for each other.
No,
anyway?
I just think you just moved too quickly.
No, I
there's
don't.
No way of them. No, there's I no way agree. Of them knowing. Like, get it? You don't get to know each other properly. Basically.
Yeah, and
you're
I just
you're giving. You're basically being intimate without them knowing you, you knowing them, and there's no, where do you go from there? And I think
yeah, but I think you can still fool around. Just don't do the thing that
well,
we,
yeah,
you
of
know.
Course.
And I just
yeah.
I don't know I got to the point last year where I was just like, I'm not right, okay, I'm just not sleeping with people on the first date. Mm-hmm. And I didn't sleep with Chris on the first date. And we just, our relationship is the one that's lasting.
I
and I just think it's such a, I just think it's why not wait? If you really like someone, you think this isn't going to be the first time I see, the
Absolutely.
Last time I see you, why don't we just do it when we go, God, I just have to do this, rather than just doing it, waking up tomorrow, feeling a little bit like, oh God, you know, didn't know him very well. And now it's a bit awkward.
I never feel embarrassed if I've had sex with someone.
I don't feel embarrassed, but I definitely think, oh, I wish I'd kept a little bit
but
back.
I don't think you should give your relationship with Chris so much credit to not having sex on the first date.
No, I don't. But I also, I feel good about it. And
right.
I like it. And also, he was obviously, I've not slept with lots of people on the first date. I just mean that... I just, there was something...
So again, I've not slept with...
I've not slept with lots of people on the first date, but there was something about with Chris that I kind of... I just knew that I wanted it to go somewhere. Mm. And I kind of didn't feel... I just feel like as I've grown up, I've matured and learnt the lesson that it just... It doesn't make you feel great. There's no point. You don't have to. You don't lose anything from it. So just don't do it straight away.
You know what I think? The thing about my belief in sex is... It depends why you're having sex with them. If you're having sex with them to make them like you, that's wrong.
Yeah.
If you're having sex with them because you feel pressured, that's wrong. If you're having sex with them because you're drunk and you don't know what you're doing, that's wrong. But if not, I'm not saying that you should have sex on a first date, but I think if it happens and you both really enjoyed
really
it
want to,
and
yeah.
it was really fun, that... It's not so bad. It doesn't mean you should be beating yourself up about it.
No, definitely not.
Yeah,
and I don't think
if you do have sex on the first date, I'm just saying it doesn't matter, and unless it was for the wrong reasons.
Yeah,
I agree.
And so many women use sex as a tool, which I really don't like, because I only ever have sex for pleasure, I think, or boredom sometimes. But you know, mostly it's 99% of the time it's
pleasure. Yeah.
For my like, obviously, I want to make my partner happy, but.
Yeah.
I
but
really
you
enjoy
have a
having
good
sex.
Yeah, you want to have a good time.
Sorry,
yeah.
Mum.
And you found... Yeah, I'm sorry.
You had sex 7 times, Mum. There were 7 of us.
Blimey.
And a few more, I'm sure. I think that's right. I mean, I think that's great. I think that's a really good attitude, having like women having sex because they want to have sex. They want to have a good time. I just think that if they meet somebody and they think this person is a potential, you know, person that I want to have a relationship, then... There's a good chance that they may screw it up by having sex with them, just because.
I think so.
Yeah, because you know, it's you're just not. What's the word? You're just not getting to know each other. You're not giving each other, and also, the guy might just think, oh, well, he doesn't think he's
that,
special
that's
because
the guy. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
It does happen. It's happened, but I just mean
that important. Like as. I think sex is super important in a relationship. I don't mean that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is... If there's a chemistry between you, I think this, whether when you have sex, if I waited 7 years, I mean, that would be too much. But it's like kind of irrelevant.
I totally agree with you. And yeah. I don't know. I just feel that now, say if this relationship that I'm in didn't work out and I went back into dating again, mm-hmm. it would, I certainly would never mm-hmm. be the type of girl. I mean, I would say kind of my, you know, early 20s, I slept with most people on the first date type mm-hmm. thing for a bit. Then I actually realised, oh, I don't want to sleep with anybody mm. anymore. I don't feel like I need to.
Yeah.
And then, you know, dated a few people in my late 20s and mm. a few people last year and stuff. And fine, but I definitely got to the point where I was like, I actually just don't want no. to sleep with anybody else.
Well, you know what
I don't want
yeah.
to.
My
and I think
I don't want to share myself with so many people.
Exactly. And then know? When I met Chris, I was like, when it came to the moment, I was like, God, I really want to sleep with this person. Mm-hmm. And I did. And now, you know, he's the man I love more than anything yeah. in the world. But I think if I was to be single again, I think even more so, I would be, I don't actually want to just yeah. have sex with somebody yeah. else. I just don't want to.
I think it's yeah. totally to do with your own attitude as well. Mm. Like you're saying, like, if you're just in the mood to go out and basically have mm. a share with someone, then that's fine.
Then
that's
don't
fine.
Feel bad about
yeah, it. No, never, 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 never feel bad
but if,
about
but
it.
But I think a lot of women make the mistake, this is what I was trying to say, they make the mistake of like meeting someone really and really putting a pressure on themselves
yes.
that this is the one, this could be a relationship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then
well, that's when
sleeping
they're
with
sex
them
for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, and then sleeping with them exactly, and then sort of wondering why this guy's like not calling or mm. you know, and it's because they put this whole pressure, and then they kind of, I don't know, they didn't give the relationship a chance.
Because
yeah.
they did it, they
because of their attitude
had sex for the wrong
it.
Reasons. Yeah. That's why they had sex thinking
that this was going to make them like them more.
Yeah,
and
which yeah. is absolutely yeah. you should never do that. Yeah, really, also lots of women, I think, you know, kind of going off this subject a little bit, but lots of women don't enjoy sex.
Yeah.
They don't, not that they can't enjoy sex, but they're so aware of what's going on, you know, from I've talked to some friends that they're very self-conscious, like about their bodies or mm. whatever. And I always think guys like just see tits and bums.
Yeah.
They don't care whether
if you,
one's
if you
bigger
feel
than
sexy,
the other.
A guy will think you're sexy.
Yeah,
that's
but,
a fact.
I mean, if you've got cellulite, but if you say to the guy, oh, look at my cellulite. Of course, they're going to say, oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
But they're not looking at the cellulite. They're looking at your bottom
yeah.
or whatever.
They look at boobs.
Yeah.
I would say, I can't remember what I was just about to say. Oh, yeah, Eleanor Bergstein, the woman who I spent Thanksgiving with, said something really good to me the other day. She read the book that I wrote. Now, I obviously wrote when I was 25.
The dating book.
Yeah, and it's really sexy.
I really want to read
and
it.
And it's more about, it's like a young girl's fantasy book about what a great life. I gave myself 6 months, and sure, some of it's made up and some of it isn't, but mm-hmm. it's the fact that it's just like, this was the fantasy life for a young single woman mm-hmm. in London to be living. And it was an absolute riot to write. And she said to me, she read it and she was like, she loves it so much, but she would like, you know, I'd be really sad if I thought that's what your life was like all the time.
Right.
What makes your book really fun and exciting is what it was. It was a block of time mm. where I thought, what if I never get to behave like this again? Let's go out and do mm. it. And actually, when I got to the end of the 6 month period and I'd written my book, sure, I wasn't like stopping dating and stopping sleeping with people, but I felt like my kind of really proactive time was over, of like going out to deliberately find guys. And it wasn't, you know, there's a few sexy encounters in there, but it wasn't massively successful. And I just think I got it out of my system totally. So my late 20s were really like much calmer and really dating people. But what she said to me was so interesting. She says, the reason why you love hearing those stories about girls who have periods like that, where they've just come out of a relationship or they were single, they're having that kind of wild time. Mm. It's really fun to hear about if you don't think that's just you forever. That's what
exactly.
you're going to
be
like.
Hard.
Yeah, but like really, so what I think you get to the point as you get older where you're like, you're looking for a bit more of a connection with somebody. And therefore, sure, you've still got the right and do go out if you just want to get laid. You just go, I'm just going out to get laid. But that would happen kind of a lot less frequently as you get older than it would when you're younger. And you start to find people that you just like getting laid with. And maybe that would be a relationship, or maybe like it's an ongoing fuck buddy, or maybe it's whatever it is. Mm. But it gets a lot less random people. And suddenly now the idea of going out on a date with someone and sleeping with someone on the first date that I hadn't met before fills me with dread.
Mm. And I even hate going out on dates.
6 years ago, I wouldn't have cared about that. I've just done
it. You've seen me, like when I've been planning to go on a date with someone, and half the time I change my mind because I don't actually really, I'm not crazy about them. And I think, why am I wasting my time? Even more than having sex with someone, having to sit with someone for 2 hours over dinner with someone that I already know I don't have a great connection with. Why on earth would I do that?
Do you remember we were talking about with Steve the other day about women that go out with go out for dinners because they get a free dinner.
Yeah, it's like, so weird, isn't it?
What is that all about?
Yeah, I'd rather have Marmite on toast.
I'd rather have beans on toast, Marmite on toast. I mean,
how many times can I say Marmite on toast in this podcast and make it relevant? Sponsored
by Marmite.
But when you, I have to say, look, I, my book was definitely about me. I was really broke at the time and I was living this ridiculous lifestyle.
You were going for the free dinners.
Well, I was going for the experience, not just the dinners. It didn't matter where we went for dinner. But
it also helps that you're attractive because I think that, say, like someone else, you know, had set out on that. I don't know whether it would have been the same story or anyone, even if they're not attractive.
Yeah, maybe
or
not
attractive or better looking or whatever. Mm. It would have, everyone's stories would have been different.
Stories would have been different. You have different connections with
also,
some
you
people.
You might have had more sex with more success. Because you are attractive. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. That was a very arrogant way of responding to that.
No. It's not arrogant because you are attractive. It's okay to say you're attractive. Mm. That's another thing I'd like to talk about one time, about women not feeling okay about saying that they're attractive.
Oh, I read an article about it for the Sunday Times that hopefully they're going to print any minute, actually, about how... If I say, oh, I think I'm really pretty, then I have to start slagging off my ass.
Right.
Or like saying, or it's okay, I don't love myself completely. Yeah. I just think I've got a nice face and I've got good skin, but I've got a shit ass.
Don't you think also, if you don't love yourself, how are you going to expect anyone else to?
Easy, Oprah. Yeah.
No, I really believe that.
But it's true. It is true.
Because I used to hate myself, especially when I was married. Not hate myself, but I used to always bring myself down and be really critical of myself. You know, look at everything wrong with me and not look at the things that are nice about me. Mm-hmm. And then when I was single, I had to kind of just, you know, talk to myself all the time.
Yeah.
And I had to say some nice things to myself. And I realised I wasn't so bad. And, you know, it's okay. Well, and then people started liking me more because I liked me.
I think it's part of growing up as well.
Is it?
Yeah, because I mean, I think we all go through that kind of, you know, just hating ourselves and when we're growing up, when our body's changing, and then we also stay with what we had when we were like, I mean,
like you're still a little bit insecure.
Yeah, like when I was like, from 13 to maybe 16, I was tormented because I was really, really, really skinny.
I used to get called matchstick.
And, you know, and I had no confidence. And then when I was 17, 18, when boys started liking me, I still couldn't believe that a boy would, you know what I mean?
Oh
so
my
it
God.
Was like, and I, you know, it took me years to get over that. And you know, I think a lot of, and it's the same when I was talking to this girl about it, and it's the same when, say you were fat, you know, you were really overweight when you were a kid and you're gorgeous now, you still that fat. My sister, for example, she wasn't fat, but she was a chubby 14-year-old and she's absolutely gorgeous now. She's really slim, but she's still sometimes, forgets.
Yeah.
She's that 14-year-old.
You know how when you're younger and older people say, oh, you're young, you don't know.
Yeah.
And I hate that it's such a cliche, but I think, God, you know, I was exactly the same, really bad body image between the ages of about 16 and 24 because I was big. And like all of those, like sexually not really sure what I was doing and made a few mistakes.
Right.
You know, and did things I would never do now.
Did.
Yeah, no, we all did. And it's all part of makes you who you are and all that stuff.
Different.
But it's just but it's the thing is it's just when you know when you're that age and people say to you, you don't know you're young yet, fuck off. I know exactly who I am. And I look back and I just feel so solid now and just so like I know who I am sexually and that I don't need to do anything I don't want to do.
Exactly.
I know my body, okay, there's bits about it I don't like, but I love it. And I like my face and I like my personality and I like all of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's all like, you know, the last few years
Oprah.
When it all comes together. No, but it's true though. And you get,
quite
I think.
It's liberating to be able to do that.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, listen, we don't have long left, but I really want Gail to sing a song for us.
Yay.
Arlene threw a Christmas party the other night and Gail sang. And I just fancy Gail so much that I was just looking at her like she was the only woman in the world and that she was singing to me. And you have a Christmas song called.
I do, called Under the Tree. I'm just going to
Under
check.
The Tree. She's going to sing it for us.
Guitar is in tune. And if I have a pick, I can do it without a pick.
Use one of your nipples.
Could use my nipple. Yeah, that's a good idea, actually.
That would be a great party trick.
It would be impossible, also.
Would it?
Well, I would imagine playing a guitar with your nipple would be pretty impossible unless you had rhino nipples.
There's a great movie I saw. It's a documentary called Anvil. It's a musical documentary. You've got to see it, guys. It's brilliant. Everyone at home should see it. It's brilliant. It's a Canadian band, but a British director.
Oh, really?
And it's fantastic. But in the 80s, he plays his guitar with a big dildo. And it's so funny. And it's like Spinal Tap, but it's real.
Oh, wow.
It's best movie I've seen this year.
Plays a guitar with a big dildo.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And he plays it really well.
Carry on talking, girls.
I find I find that really
weird.
You
know, while we were talking about that other subject, while Gail is setting up, my friend Jack, you know, who's 14,
yep.
He was saying to me, because we were talking kind of about girls and their body image and things like, you know, that kind of stuff. And he was saying that he wishes he could have a pair of glasses that he could look at beautiful girls and see how ugly they are on the inside, and that's how they look on the outside.
Jesus.
Because he goes, you know, so many times he meets girls who are really hot and they're actually complete cows.
Blimey, that's quite a statement for a 14-year-old boy.
I know, I was kind of impressed.
Yeah.
I was like, you'll be shagging all the chubsters.
You just said that word.
What, shagging? Shagging, 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 shagging.
I said it on the last podcast, actually.
Yeah, it's quite satisfying.
No, I don't
shagging.
Like it. I don't
Why
like
not?
It. I don't know. There's just something about it. I don't like the idea of you two shagging. I don't mind the idea of you having sex in some way, but I just think, I don't want my friend shagging. I just think it's horrible.
I love saying fancy a shag.
I say, would you like to make love?
Yeah, but sometimes it's not about love. It's about having a good old rogering.
Yeah, rogering's good. Do you fancy a bonk?
Yeah, bonking's okay.
Bonking's great. Bonking's what Claudia would say.
Yeah, she goes, bonk.
I had a bonk last night.
I had a fabulous bonk.
Hello, Claudia in India.
Oh, Claudia.
Claudia listened to all our podcasts, she said. No, all
she?
Of them.
I love that girl.
Okay, I haven't got a pick, so I'm just going to pick it with my finger.
Oh, is that okay? Will you get a nasty callus?
No, I've got... No, it's fine, it's fine. This song is called Under the Tree, and this is for all you lovers out there.
Or not.
Shopping tills are ringing, carol boys are singing, jingle bells and have yourself a merry day. Moms and dads are rapping while their little girls are clapping, for their dreams are almost on their way. Well, maybe this year I'll get just what I want, or maybe it's just right here under the tree, under the lights when no one can see. Give you my love unraveled, give you it all. Let's lay down by the fire, dry our clothes up from the chill. Let's drink red wine and kick the Rockets kick their legs up high, and every show's on ice. Let's stay home alone tonight. It's no sacrifice, 'cause we don't make time for a day in our lives to just lay back and under the tree, under the lights when no one can see. I give you my love unraveled and free, I give you it all. But don't buy me rocks, chocolates or candies in a box. Just give me your love and all you got, 'cause that's all I want. Shouldn't be just one day of the year. Under the tree, under the lights when no one can see. Give you my love unraveled and free, I give you it all. But don't buy me rocks, chocolates or candies in a box. Just give me your love and all you got, that's all I want. Under the tree, under the lights when no one can see. I give you my love unraveled and free, I give you it all. Yay.
Yay! Oh, Gail, I love you so much.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Can I just ask you one line in there? Is it something about rockets with your
legs? Rockets kick their legs up. Rockets.
Oh, rockets. That's what I wasn't sure.
Rockets. I know. Sometimes I forget to sing it rockets because I'm like, rockets kick their legs
that's
up.
Rockets
right.
legs.
No, rockets.
Oh,
rockets.
I love it. I love rockets. Christmas songs. That's a really sweet one. We've got that on just on the radio at home at the moment, just a radio station that's just playing Christmas songs. Continuously.
If anyone wants to buy that song, you can go to iTunes.
Yes,
Gale
and
Day,
download it.
Beautiful, Dangerous, Under the Tree. And
okay, we'll tweet that later as well. Is that what it's called, Beautiful Dangerous? Oh, that's your album.
Under the Tree is the song.
There's another song that you sing that I feel that I'm the only person in the world that you sing to. And
right, well, we ought to be.
Yeah, so you're going to learn that on the guitar for me, aren't you?
Yeah.
for my birthday.
I just haven't played it for a while.
Okay, perfect. Well, I really enjoyed today.
I loved it.
Oh, I loved it too.
I love you.
I love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Tay. What did you say?
Tay.